Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very V-A-R-Y Necessary Podcast.
Hello.
What's up, everyone?
Hey there.
Hey.
Remember when you was little and you used to echo in the fan?
Oh, hello. I loved it.
Hello.
I used to... I used to love sound like Roger.
Who was Roger?
Computer love. Oh.
You know what? It's something wrong with you.
I loved it.
So let me tell you. I don't know. Did Roger and Shirley Murdock ever have a song together?
Ooh, I don't know.
So I went to go see the Isley Brothers about a couple weeks ago, right? And Shirley Murdock was there.
I love Shirley.
When I don't know why I pair Shirley Murdock and Roger together, but I do for some reason. That's why I thought they had a song.
Well,
Shirley was not her best. Let's say that. And I want to give grace to the I want to give grace to the older artists, because let me tell you, Atlantic Star was there also.
Okay.
And they did very well. Now, there's only two original members of Atlantic Star. However, they still sound amazing.
Okay.
Ron Isley.
How did he look? Did he look like?
He looked like he was 83 years old. And this ought to be your last tour, sugar.
Oh.
Because how the hell old was Frankie Beverly?
Frankie was in his 70s.
Well, Ron is 83. He'll be 84 in May. And it's time. He could not stand up. So he had the times he was standing, he had a cane. And he pretty much sat the whole show. But when I tell you, he wasn't off pitch,
okay,
whatsoever.
He can sit down.
The voice never leaves you. And not quite sure how old Ernie Isley is, who is his brother. But let me tell y'all something. That man had on his damn Prince blouse, and he played that goddamn guitar. That's what my granny say. That guitar.
The guitar.
He played that guitar like he was a young man. So
you talking about the brother, okay,
Ernie,
Ron,
Ernie is Ernie is Alex Isley's dad.
Okay,
so, but hell, he got to be just as old as Ron. But he played the hell out of that damn guitar, had it all playing with his mouth and had it turned upside down. I said, look at this,
and you know that's not an easy instrument to play.
It's not. It's not. It really is not. Mm-mm. But he played it. And so I say all that to say, these older people who, you know, there are some where I'm just like, they are still doing really well. And there are some where I'm just like, all right now.
So do you
it's
think
it's time to retire and take it on to the house?
They are doing it for pleasure, the fun of it, or because they have to do it for, you know, to keep the
lifestyle
money flowing because of bad investment,
no
bad money management.
I don't care. I feel like
I think it's the money.
If you are an artist, I think in any career field, even with okay, so Neek and I work together. We work with a bunch of older nurses.
You work with old nurses.
Yeah.
And I ain't going to say they old. They old.
They old. They like 60, 70. 65, 70-ish
79,
years old.
79, 69. They old.
You know you can't provide the same care as with these entertainers. You know you are not performing the same show you performed 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, you can use this interchangeably with older people.
Mm-hmm.
There comes a time where you need to say, hey,
I had a good run.
Yeah.
Take it to the house.
There you go. We don't give a damn what your finances are. We don't give a damn what bad choices you make where you still need to do this. If you tell me you're going to provide me with care, if you tell me you're going to give me a show, that's what the fuck I'm expecting.
Right, because I'm paying you for an experience, and I need an experience.
Right. Nobody's ever paid Ron Isley to go up there and dance because he ain't no damn dancer. So if he want to sit and sing... sit and sing, because we're paying for the voice. But if I go see Beyonce and she don't dance and she want to sit in the chair and sing the whole time, I'm going to have a problem with that, because I'm used to seeing Beyonce Beyonce darting all across the stage, and giving me a Super Bowl show at a concert. Yes. So I'm going to feel cheated if I don't get that. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I just think it comes a point in time with people that it might be time to throw the towel in.
But I guess they're doing it because they have
Mike
to.
Mike Tyson. You can do something else to generate income. If you're a celebrity, I'll say this. If you're a celebrity, there are things you can do to generate income other than try to perform or do your, you know, your natural talent or gift or whatever. Mike Tyson had no reason to be in that ring.
Mike Tyson got paid, what, $20 million just to lose?
That's it.
So my thing was,
I would have took
why,
that
deal. Why would Mike Tyson just promote the fight or, you know, get paid to be a trainer or get paid to, you know, be behind the scenes or
because he didn't get paid do that something. Much doing that. It was less. It was
and
only-
then I also think with that was also a little bit of an ego thing. That boy called him out. And he felt like he had to respond.
Well, they said that fight was supposed to have taken place
years ago.
Yeah. It was but Mike got sick and had to go in the hospital. What, stomach or kidneys or something?
Case in point, your ass ain't even well.
Well, he hurt with 20 mil.
But guess what? He was sued.
Was he?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Somebody sued him because he had owed somebody some money, so I guess, you know,
see another reason why he had to fight. He owed somebody some money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I just
because like the people we work with, debts. What I told you, them people can't afford to retire right now, so that's why they hang that wall and come on into work every day.
But now, do I kill myself trying to maintain? I don't know. I guess it's like a catch 22. You know, damn if you do, damned if you don't. I'm not going to give anyone substandard or subpar care because I feel like, oh, I can still see good enough to,
to drive the work.
Just to drive the work.
Just to drive the work. To walk down the hallway. Because I'm like, why you hugging
I got
that
the
wall
film away
like
to-
that?
Right. I'm not going to do that. Like, we have a provider.
I hope this the right pill.
And her, yeah, and her vision is horrible. Her vision is horrible. But she knows her. She knows her limits. I don't need to be driving after a certain hour.
Mm-hmm.
If I feel like, you know, I can't see something good, I'm gonna call somebody in to read this over to me so I can make sure. You know, it'll be some days she forgets her glasses. Hey, come in here, baby. Read this over for me. Let me make sure I got it right. Okay. And then she has like a little dictation device, you know, to where she can
you don't have
speak
to
her notes. Versus typing, because it's hard for her to do that now. So you can make necessary adjustments to still carry out.
Oh, it's time to go.
She
it's
get,
time to go.
I saw that neck snap back.
We've said this, and yeah, so I think she knows I'm at the finish line. But do you not?
Not that one. No.
Yeah, so do
oh,
you,
it's another one?
Yes, older than her. She's 83. How old did she just turn?
85. 84, she 85. Turned 85 about a week or so
y'all
ago.
Y'all don't push them out?
They need to.
They need to.
This lady should not, to me. Don't get me wrong. She is still very cognizant.
Yes.
Of what she's doing, but there are days where we can be like, hey.
We're not the right environment because we are.
It's too high
volume, fast paced, and it takes her a little longer. Right. You got to think about it. She's 85.
So she needs to be in something a little slower.
Mentally, she's intact. Yeah, so. She provides great care.
So.
But she gets flustered after a certain number. She's like, I can't.
It's too many.
No, I can't. Baby, you got to.
Yeah. So you can't, and I'm gonna say this, and where it goes out to everyone, you can't expect for the world to slow down because you can't speed up.
Don't worry, I ain't gonna stay.
And vice versa, everybody can't speed up because, or you can't speed up and expect for the world
to slow down
or to get on your level.
To get on your
like
thing.
You see what I think there should be an even plane of this is the normal wave, and either you can meet it or you can't.
Right. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, we can take some medicine to bring us down.
Right. You can take something. You can get something to take you up.
You can take uppers and downers. You can take uppers and downers.
Yeah, but I don't think you can. I don't know.
I think at a certain time, I know I need to go to the house.
It's time to go.
But see, people like me are planning to go to the house before I'm supposed to.
Part-time work is what's needed. Maybe these people can do part-time. Let's go down. Let's just move them to part-time work.
The one with the eyesight problem is thinking about doing a part-time thing. She was like, I probably should drop my hours. You think?
Yeah.
You think?
Let's do that. Let's start there.
We had an older one, Gilbert, mm-hmm. who was there 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm. And he wasn't down them days.
Yeah. But, you know. And then it got to them 3 days a week turn into 3 days, half days.
Yeah, that's
how.
And
then it came to, I can't even do this shit no more.
I think I'm going to go to the house. I don't want to do this.
That's how you do it. Yeah.
You don't have to take yourself all the way out the game.
He went full-time to part-time 3 days a week for about a year. And then after that, he was like, you know what? I think I'm going to just head on out the
door. Because he know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they need to do that too. Because they're in denial.
What do you call it when you just kind of ease your way out of something? You know, in the medical field, we say titrate down. But there's a way for you could, you know, I'm going to pull back. I'm gonna ease my way out.
Was it secession?
I'm not sure. But I think, you know, it goes back to that old song, you gotta know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's called secession.
Yeah. That's like when I see these young girls doing things, and there's a lot of young activities and songs and you know, new things that I see all the time on social media, and I can truly say that, hey, that might be something I like to do, or I'll look at it and be like, yeah, that's what them new ones do, but I can't see myself, or maybe I need to do something similar in a more modified version.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, that ain't my speed. I shouldn't even be messing with none of that right there. That's for the churn. You know what I'm saying? So there's not something that's not for everybody. You just got to know, hey, this ain't your calling. This ain't what you're supposed to be doing. Or you just might need a modified version.
Yeah. I just, you know, I just had a brain fart. Freeze.
Okay. Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't forgot what I was about to say. I was looking at that clip and it just threw me off just now.
Okay, well, let's go to our clip then.
It just Engineer. Threw me all the way
off. since we talking about the clip.
Humble. Like, my boys have never had a pair of Jordans. You know, my boys don't do all that internet fly shit. I'm like, your kids. And no, I don't give a I could be the biggest star in the world. Do not let me catch you being stupid. Mm-hmm. Do not. And my oldest gets it. My 15-year-old, he tell the other ones, he's like, yo, don't make dad mad. Because once you get one that's right, he gonna straighten the other ones out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that thing of, in the past 20 years, we've been living through the death of the American male. They have literally killed masculinity in our homes and our communities for one reason or another. But I raised my boys to be young men. And however you feel about that, you feel about that.
Right.
But my boys will always be respectful. They will always say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. No, sir, no, ma'am. They will always say thank you. They will always open a door for a lady. They will always make sure that their mother is taken care and provided for. They will always be men. And that's always since they were 2 years old. Every time I left for a job, I tell my 15-year-old, you're the man of the house. Mm. You make sure these doors are locked every night, this alarm is on, you text me or you call me every night before you go to bed and you wake up.
I love that.
Because we're men. If I'm not there to protect, he got to be there to protect. Because you can have all the money in the world, climb through the window, that money means nothing.
Right.
You can have all the celebrity in the world, jump through the door, that celebrity means nothing.
Yeah.
So you got to have a little guard in there. Mm-hmm. You know? And So for me, it's always that idea of American masculinity is very different.
Yeah, okay. American masculinity.
Uh-huh.
And we're speaking of black males at this point, not just the masculinity of the male, the black male masculinity. And is it missing?
Yeah.
Is it prevalent in the home? Is it missing in the home?
I think so. Because think about how many single mom households there are.
Even in the, okay, so even in the single household, is it missing?
I mean, we started seeing that in the 80s, though.
Because if the dads aren't in the house, hopefully they have another male role model somewhere. Hopefully. But just think about it. Us as adults, how many sensitive men have we come across that are more sensitive than we are? And I don't mean just like sensitive in their feelings. Like, they're more of a female than I am.
Yeah.
I mean.
But, hold on. I will say that, okay, so we saw the daddies, like, not as present in the 80s, right?
Right.
And then we also, in the 90s, homosexuality and having feminine males, that was more accepted. So it's not uncommon to me to see the shift in more feminine acting men because of the loss of daddy in the house. And because it being more acceptable to be a gay man with feminine traits now than it has ever been. So it's really not uncommon for this to have happened. What I don't like to see is men that have decided to go the transgender route actual homosexual man living in a homosexual relationship, living that life, to compare himself to me as a woman. A transgender man will be a transgender man to me. You're not going to be a woman. You were not born as a woman to me. These are my thoughts, Yosha's thoughts all by herself. Mm-hmm. You want to call yourself a woman or you want to identify as a woman? You do that. But for you to say that you are a woman just like I am the woman, I'm not going to allow you to do that.
I think it is very hard to see masculinity in the home because it's overshadowed by single home.
Yes.
I think it is prevalent in those homes, but because there are so many single parent homes, mm-hmm. That is hard to see. I think a lot of single parents try their best to have the masculinity in their children. But mm-hmm. It's, you know, we try, especially with the women with the young boys. We try to make sure that our boys are boys and try to train them and teach them to be young men. Mm-hmm. You know, not to be mama's boys and not to... You know, we try to make sure that their fathers are in their lives, especially if we have good relationships with them, or try our best to maintain a decent relationship with the fathers so that our children can have that male figure in their life so they can have some type of positive masculine effect in that boy. And we do try, you know, for the parents that want to have that good co-parenting mm-hmm. Presence in that child. And it's overshadowed or is kind of dimmed a little bit by the negative presence that's in the home. And I really do think for the fathers that do as the clip says, he makes sure that when he leaves the home that he lets his 15-year-old know that you are the man of the house, that you know, putting that's a lot of weight to put on a 15-year-old, mm-hmm. especially with a father, a celebrity father at that. and let him know that you are a regular. I'm the celebrity, not you. Mm-hmm. You regular. Mm-hmm. You out here. You're not out here sacrificing and making the household do its thing. But while I'm out here, you need to make sure that mom is good, the house mm-hmm. is good. I'm giving you some responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good mindset that fathers and mothers need to put in their male children. Not saying shy away from the young women, but you got to remember, a man has to be trained up a different way from a woman.
Yes.
It's night and day. At the end of the day, a man has to be a leader. A woman has to be a leader too. I'm not knocking that, but we have to train our men up to be different breeds. They have to be at a different level of mindset than the woman, because they have to be a leader of their pack, okay? And so we have to make sure that we are training them to think different, to be different, to move different. And when you put that responsibility on them, not nothing too heavy, too hard, too, you know, unbearable, but you got to make sure that what you're doing is preparing them for change, preparing them for what may come in the event that I'm not here, that you know that, hey, if I don't make it back today, you know, this alarm needs to be set. You need to make sure that the house is protected. You need to make sure mom knows, you know, whatever it is that I've given the rules.
XYZ.
Yes.
Right.
The expectations that I have set. This is the rules. This is the layout. This is the exit plan for XYZ. Mom probably already know all this stuff.
But it also lays the blueprint for when they become men and have their own household.
Exactly.
Of the things that they want to keep and implement with their families, or add to or take away.
Exactly. Because they're going to have families one day.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have children one day. And you have to leave a legacy of responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like...
But when a father is not in a home, how is the man-child taught those man responsibilities when there's not a man in the household?
That's where mentors and grandpas and uncles mm-hmm. and other males come into play.
Yes.
That's where your role models come into play.
Yep. And so. I've always heard a woman can't teach a man how to be a man. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's partially true.
To an mm-hmm. extent.
I believe
she
that
can
is,
teach you some things.
I believe that's partially true. I believe the setup is there to happen. It's just like a marriage, like a woman that's being given away. You can lead them to a certain point in life, and then she's taking over the
threat. She leaves her father's house to her
and
husband.
And I believe that as a woman, we can lead you up to a certain point in life, and then it's like, okay, I have to hand you over because I can't teach you any more than what I've taught you.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I can entrust you to learn more from. And I have to make sure that who I lead you into, that they're, I have to trust that they're going to guide you the rest of the way. I can't lead you into just any old person. I have to make sure the wisdom is there, the trust is there, that bond is there. Because if I lead you to any old thing, you're going to learn any old thing. And so I just think that people say, oh, a woman can't teach a boy how to be a man. Nah, that's not true. A woman can teach a boy to be many things, but she probably can't lead him into certain things. But a woman can do many things.
I'm gonna say this,
but not all things. Yeah. Okay, Mr. Producer over there shaking his head. I am a product of a single parent, and I can attest that I'm just me now.
Y'all didn't grow up. But hold on, y'all didn't grow up also in the house with another boy child. It was just you and your sister. But when you had a son, luckily, he had an active dad.
Right.
But would you have the background knowledge, because you did not grow up with a boy in the household?
No, I didn't grow up. So I grew up, the way I grew up was my mom, I grew up with the father in the beginning of my childhood, mm-hmm. and then a separation took place.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of had the best of both, you had both. Worlds.
You understood both.
Up to a certain point.
Up to yes. a certain point. Then I had my son in a single parent household. My son father never had either. He just had a single parent household. His father never had anything to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
So he always, he desired to have a relationship, but he always had a block in that area. And his mom and his relationship was not the best right. either.
And he only could teach him what he knew.
Yes. But he always knew that he wanted better for his son. So that was the difference. He knew that I can't treat him how I was taught. I want it better.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God that he took the route of wanting better.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I knew how it felt to have both parents. Okay. And so with him having that idea of I want better, and me having having both of understanding how I felt as a girl having a father and a mother at one point, you know, together. My son dad was very active in, you know, me and him wasn't together, very active in his life. And I will say that he was very present and took a lot of time out, you know, whatever they did on their own, whether it's fishing,
mm-hmm.
He did a lot of things that he never did as a child with my son. So he lived through his childhood
with
my son.
But you know what? I feel like for him, and I'm not going to say his name on the show because I do know Von's son's father. We all went to school together. Good dude. Good dude. I wouldn't even have known that he didn't grow up with a dad, because always very respectful and present and accountable and responsible. But I think men who don't grow up with their fathers, who are trying to raise young men, they should also have a mentor at a certain point, because there is that block where I don't really know where to go from here, because I just didn't get all the tools.
And
from
I
the
found
beginning.
Out he did have a mentor.
Okay.
He leaned on, I did not know, this older man that was a carpenter,
mm-hmm.
That he gravitated to, had no clue who this man was until years later. He finally introduced me to this man, and till this day, this is like a dad to him.
Right.
Never knew.
But he found somebody.
Right.
He found someone.
That's good.
Yes. And took him under his wing and taught him everything that he knew about carpentry, how to apply his hands, mm-hmm. how, when I say this man taught him more.
He was a skillful man.
Skill.
Probably
oh
taught
gosh.
Him more than what a present father in the household with his sons actually teaches their son.
And it was a mental breakdown for him.
Mm-hmm.
It was very enlightening. Very enlightening.
You know what perplexes me? Like, okay, so a lot of the daddies kind of left the homes around the 80s, right? And So I posted something the other day about this guy who he always felt like had his dad been present, not even present, just made the initiative to be a part of his life. And so he had to ask his father on his deathbed, like, why didn't you step up at a certain point and try to even have a relationship with me? He made every excuse to ask to why he couldn't. And then, of course, the dad died and he didn't go to the funeral because he didn't feel like he owed him that. You didn't even feel like you owed me, you know, the right to have a relationship with me outside of my mom. Once I got grown, she's out of the equation. Why not look for me? Why not try to reach out to me and have a relationship with me at that point? So he felt like he was failed and he didn't feel like he should honor, you know, going to the dad's funeral or, you know, trying to have a relationship with the other siblings or anything because of what he didn't have. And I just don't understand how men live with themselves knowing that you have children out here that you have not made a valiant effort to even try to mend a relationship with or to get to know them. What kind of man just know he got kids out here and he not say, well, I want to meet Lil John Jr. just to even see, you know, how his life was, the man he is now, if there's anything I can do from this point on, considering what happened, to try to be there at this point. Hey, maybe I wasn't there the first 18, 20, 30 years, but I'm here now.
That's a low life.
Yeah.
I would applaud the man who said, I haven't been that dude, but I know better now.
That was a screw up. Because
it might have been some shit he didn't get. So we don't know. But I would applaud the man that took the steps necessary to do it versus the nigga that just said, well, hell, it done been all this time. Ain't no need to try to get to know the little nigga now. He grown. I don't have respect for that dude.
Right.
I don't have respect for that guy.
It was a show on in Ayanla. I can't remember which episode, but it's a guy, is a dad. He had many sons, and he didn't know any of his sons. And he said, you know, he wanted, I effed up, I screwed up, and I want to get to know my sons. And, you know, he went on there wanting a relationship with all of them. And it was the choice of the kids if they wanted a relationship with him or not. But the fact that he was ready and willing and to face all of his trauma, you know, because he wasn't sick or anything. Right. It's just time. He was just ready. You know, I'm tired of running. I want to know my kids. And if you can help me locate them, I think they end up coming back on the show. I think he went on the show to help her find them. I think in the beginning she found three through some other kids. Uh-huh. They ended up finding them all. And, of course, some of the kids were apprehensive. They didn't want anything to do with him. Through a lot of convincing from some of the other siblings, they finally got all of the kids. I think it was like two girls and like four boys or five boys, and they all came together and it was like, well, why'd you leave us? Why'd you leave my mom? And
they want
answers. Yeah, they want answers.
Even if they don't want nothing to do with him, they are old closure.
And, you know, some still didn't care for him. They only went on there for the strength of the other sibling to support that sibling. I still don't want anything to do with you. And he was fine with the outcome,
he
said, you know, before I close my eyes, I want to at least lay eyes on you to say, I screwed up.
I met my child.
I screwed up. I was an F up. You know, I don't want anything from you.
He owned his shit.
He owned it. And that's why Ayanla said he's owning it.
And you have to let him.
Yeah.
And I will say this, to go back to the clip when we were talking about how boys are raised. I have two daughters and a son. And I didn't understand in the beginning. My ex-husband used to tell me all the time, he has to be raised different than the girls. I'm like, no, all my kids are going to get treated the same. They're all going to be fair. Mm-hmm. But as my son got older, I understood what he meant. He has to be treated differently than his sisters. And now as a young man, I see why he did that. Because he was preparing him. Because my ex-husband, parents are still together to this day. He had an active dad in his household, and I did for the most part of my life. So he was preparing him to be that head of the household. But me as a mom, only thing I'm thinking is, no, he can't be treated different than my daughters. You know, they're all going to be treated the same. They're my kids. I'm not going to love one more than I love the other. It is not that. But as my son got older, I understood he's preparing him. He's preparing him to be the head of his household, to provide and protect for his family. But my daughters weren't mistreated, but my son was prepared for something different.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, is it, you know, like, okay, I'm not sure if your son is the oldest, the middle,
or the baby. My son is the youngest. He's the baby of the group.
Does it did it seem like with him being the youngest and the boy that it was even harder for the change of, now I'm not going to say treating him differently or you, the change of him being taught differently or treated because he was the youngest and the boy?
Right.
Yeah.
So I think, and they said something before, you know, he gets away with a little bit more because he's the baby. And that goes with me, not with their dad.
Okay.
But their dad was stricter on, and my exes was not strict at all when it came to the girls. None whatsoever. But he had discipline and rules and was strict with certain things when it came to my son. I didn't understand, but the older he got, the more I understood.
And you were more lenient and...
I was mom. You know, he was the baby. And right. Truth be told, I was tired by then. I didn't care what he did. As long
as, I would think she was probably harder on the girls.
I know, yeah, as long as he didn't die, I didn't care. You know, I was tired by then. It was three of them. I was tired. So but I didn't care.
I'm going to tell you how, if you vice versa that situation, okay, I had a dad, but he wasn't really there. So I'm going to say this. I'm the oldest and the only girl of four boys. I am way more masculine than all four of my brothers. Don't that shit sound crazy? But it is. And I'm like that because all I know is females having masculine energy in the house to have to do everything. So, and my mother babied them, or I even babied them too. So they're more, they don't act feminine per se, but they have more feminine ways and tendencies, you know, whereas they just kind of, they find these women who are authoritarians and dictators and kind of tell them what to do, because I guess they're used to seeing that from me and my mom. So you see how that shit is so skewed? So now me as this masculine woman trying to be in a relationship with a man, I don't work well with men because I'm so busy trying to be the authority figure and this is what we gonna do and, you know, be this person that my mom was because she had to take the reins. I don't know how to be soft. I don't know how to be feminine. So see, the same way we got to teach the little boys the responsibility.
We have to do the flip
with the girls. We have to flip it with the girls and teach. I never seen a soft woman. All I know is like them niggas.
Because you can't be like, oh, I want this man to come in, be the head of my household, provide for me, take care of me, and lead me, but I be the aggressor.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't trust them.
Yo, we can't be like
that. I don't trust a man enough to lead me. Why? Because I'm looking at all these other women who raised me who couldn't trust a man to take care of them because they didn't. And that's fucked up on my part. I mean, for me, not necessarily because I had nothing to do with that, but I feel like, why weren't these women teaching me to live in my soft era and so that I could be soft for a man?
Because they were in survival mode.
Right. So they taught me how to be a survivor. But you can't be a soft woman in survival mode.
But think back in, we got to go back.
Those two don't mix.
They don't work.
They don't go back. But think, you got to go back some generations when the man was in the house and he was providing. Mm-hmm. They were softer because they were allowed to be softer. But when things started to switch and change, that's when we did, you know, had to become the head of our households.
But then what did we do to the girls? We made them the more masculine figures.
Yes.
But we let the boys be a little softer and we took
roles.
Yeah, we flipped it. Think about it. What is it called now? The role reversal, the change in the roles. We responsible for that. We are. So, I mean,
I'm just thinking about like families, just think about families with, you know, multiple kids, you know. What if your son was the oldest and your girls were the younger ones? Do you think you would have been harder on your boy if
he
was
older? Because I was probably harder on my oldest because she's more responsible. Mm-hmm. I expect more out of her as far as, you know, responsibility as being the oldest child. But I expect my son to be a man. I don't want my daughter to have the hard edges. Mm-hmm. I want her to find somebody who is going to take care of her wholeheartedly. I want her to be, and some people kind of misconstrue when I say, when we say submit. Mm-hmm. I want you to have that person that you can submit to and trust, but I was harder on her as just being the older sibling. Mm-hmm. But when my, like I said, as my son got older, I understood what my ex-husband was doing. I followed suit.
So, and I always wonder, like, do we, because it's the oldest child, do we demand the oldest child to be the harder one? Do we put all the pressure on the oldest child?
I think we do it unconsciously.
We do. Because they're more they're the oldest. They're responsible.
Right. We put that responsibility, yeah, especially when it comes, whether they're the only child or the oldest child, because of the responsibility handed down to them and the masculinity of that, whether it's a female child, mm-hmm, or a male child, just the strength of, mm-hmm, what's being pushed onto them could maybe.
I felt growing up that I got the short end of the stick because I was the trial and error kid. Yeah. My mom didn't know how to be a mom. My mom wasn't even raised by her parents. So I was that child that my mom learned, mm-hmm, everything through. So did I get a fair share of actual parenting? No. Like, my mom was just kind of like, well, I'm going to try this shit. And if it work, great. If it don't,
yeah, we'll try
I
again.
Know what not to do with the next one.
Yeah.
So I was a trial and error child. I had a lot of responsibility because I had four little brothers that I was very hands-on with growing up. So I made the conscious decision that I didn't want a lot of children. I stopped at one. And I did that based off of how I grew up. Probably not the best idea because now I feel like I should have gave my daughter a sibling. But hey, it is what it is. But I feel like when you put that responsibility on your oldest, mm-hmm, or that, you know, I hated it then, but I appreciate it now. It made me the woman I am today. I looked at it as a curse then, but it's a gift.
Because if you think about it, the rules only apply to the oldest. Because then it's make sure your...
Look out for your brothers.
Yeah, because it didn't apply to the rest of them. No. It only applied to the oldest one.
And that's the saying I have. I have the oldest one, I have the rules because of the oldest. The second one breaks the rules. And the third one has no rules. So we always joke about that. But I will say this, when we talked about me being stricter, my oldest was, I call her my guinea pig child, mm-hmm, because, yo, it was trial and error with her. I call her my guinea pig. But when all three of my kids are together, my son is to treat his sisters like women. They don't pump gas. They don't open doors. Those are his sisters. But he knows I expect that out of him. Mm-hmm. So I am a little bit more sterner when it comes to things like that. Now, my oldest one, that's my ride or die. Everything will go right. I know I'll be taken care of X, Y, and Z. I am a little bit harder on her. But when it comes to him, I expect him to do certain things. And he knows this.
Like the man said in the video, he said, when I got that one that I set the standards with, he kind of makes the other ones fall in line.
Mm-hmm.
I look at me and my brothers. My brothers listen to me better than they listen to my mama. Why?
Because they spent more time with me.
I'm like the second mama in the house. But my mother is very passive. I'm that iron fist. So not only was I the big sister, not only was I the second mama, but I was the daddy too.
My God darn.
And my oldest is,
you cut. We call her the second mama. Too? Did you cut behind?
Yeah, I whooped some ass now. But it was almost like, I'll be honest, my brothers didn't get popped a lot. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have to use my hands with them because they respected me to a level of A. She's in charge. I didn't, mm-hmm, have bad brothers.
Okay.
So I will say that. They got into some shit, but they weren't bad. And I'm grateful for that. But I value the relationship now because a lot of, especially when I see brothers and sisters who don't speak and don't get along.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, how the,
yeah.
How y'all
living?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even understand no shit like that because we so tight. Like,
and that's a blessing. It really is.
Yeah. I had a girl that I knew Of course, you know, shit always kind of pop off when the parents die. She kind of felt like she was entitled to everything, didn't want to give her brother and sister anything. And I just had to come to her as her friend. I'm no longer her friend. I was just like, I just really think that's fucked up of you. Why wouldn't you feel like every one of you are entitled to a portion of something? Why would you just leave them with nothing? Like, that don't hurt your feelings. That don't hurt your heart. Like, my mom knows to make me the responsible child as far as her things and how she wants things to go, because I'm never going to cheat my brothers. Mm-hmm. I just got that heart where it wouldn't sit right with me for me to be like, I'm going to take everything and I'm not going to give you anything. You know, the only thing that I want from my mama if she passed on,
right?
Even though she's left me everything, my mother has had a necklace since she was 17 years old that she wears every day. That's the only thing I want from my mama. Mm. I ain't in this for the come up.
Right.
I'm in this to be fair. And that's what we need more brothers and sisters to do. We need more unified siblings. Because, you know, these niggas nowadays, they for self. They's a little savage.
Yeah.
So there needs to be a unity, number one. There needs to be an understanding across the board of this is your role in this family. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Like, I don't think we have roles as brothers and sisters and family members. They look at me as the anchor, but I have to remind them I've been the anchor since day one. So somebody else got to step in and be the anchor. I'm getting older. So who's going to carry the torch as to being the decision-making, responsible individual? I got two siblings. I wouldn't put no money in their goddamn hand to save my life. So you got to know, and my mother has said it best, you got to know the strength of your children. Mm-hmm. There are certain children that you give certain responsibilities to, and there are some where you say, hey, watch over this right. motherfucker right
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Because they ain't got it.
Well, my mama gonna put all her eggs in one basket. I'm the only child.
You're the only child.
I am my mother's but only
you're,
child.
But you're a responsible person.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a responsible person.
I am my mother's only child. Okay. Mm-hmm. And with my dad, I'm a middle child.
Okay. But you're responsible.
I ain't got no choice.
Yeah. But wouldn't it be even worse if you were a very irresponsible individual and your mama to just be like apprehensive, like, Lord, if I leave this motherfucker house.
And I have relatives like that.
Like, I have an only child. I'm not leaving my stuff here for my daughter. She'll blow that shit in 2 weeks. Mm. I'm going to have a trust. I'm going to have things given to her over a period of time on a monthly basis.
Okay.
Because my child is irresponsible. She's the only child. She's spoiled. Like, no.
And that's when I go to the oldest because she's my responsible child. Okay.
So there's ways to still carry out your wishes and do the things that you do without, you know, feeling like, well, damn. I do this.
And, you know, back...
It's all going to hell.
Back to the clip, one thing I do appreciate about him, and I think people of prominence, mm-hmm. whether you're a celebrity, whether you have the means, just because you have the means don't mean your children have the means. You know, mm-hmm. your children aren't the celebrity. Your children mm-hmm. aren't the prominent one. You are. If anything was to happen today to your fortunes, how would your children be able to provide for themselves, mm-hmm. you know, outside of the estate, outside of whatever the will has left behind? You know,
I get what you're saying. I have McDonald's money. You don't.
Right.
Okay, so, I got it.
So, you know, live the life that you can afford, mm-hmm. not the life that I have afforded for you.
Right.
And so this is, you know... Even on our level, we try to give our children above and beyond. We try to go, and there's nothing wrong with wanting the best for our families and our children. And sometimes, you know, we want to do a little above and beyond, but don't make it to where they're stepping out more than what they are.
But the excessive giving, what has that taught a lot of our kids?
that has depreciated them. That really has depreciated who they are.
So the lack of responsibility and accountability has handicapped a lot of our children. And I think that's why it was so good that we had that clip to show that responsibility and accountability need to be implemented again back in households, not just with the eldest child. All the children need a responsibility. If that youngest one can't do nothing but take the trash can to the curb, roll it to the curb, yep. And it's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
And I honestly know some people do pay their children money for chores. I don't knock people who do it.
Yeah, but I'm not doing it. Own, I'm not you paying know, you to do what the hell you supposed to be doing here.
Yeah, that's not...
You eat for free. You live for free. Why should I have to pay you?
Like, this is your keep.
Yeah.
You're earning your keep.
Because in real life, Vaughn, nobody's going to give them money for their household shit that they're supposed to be doing. I'm going to give you money if you're working on a job. I'm not going to give you money for cleaning your room, nigga. Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do.
I never did. My ex used to pay for grades. I don't pay for grades. Nah. That's your job.
Yeah.
That is your job that you're given. You got to go to every day. I go to work. Day.
You go to school.
That's right. It. I don't pay for grades. He did. I didn't. Right. But yeah, good job. Whoop, whoop.
Yes.
That's it. But, I mean, that's how I say shit. Get chopped and screwed and skewed, lines crossed and blurred.
They feel like this... everything should be given. And right. They want it given instantly.
Yep. The only time I got... anything for school was when I got promoted to the next grade. That's it.
I think I was when I graduated high school.
I did. I got a little,
a little gift.
A little gift or something, yeah. A graduation gift for being promoted to the next grade. Yeah.
I remember a school year my mom told me that she wasn't happy with my performance that previous year. She wasn't buying me no school clothes.
Oh. Are you serious?
And she stuck by what she said. So guess what I did? I went out here and I got me a damn little job. I done lied on some paperwork, but I got me a little job and I got me some school clothes. But that also opened my eyes to, number one, I could get my own shit on my own. But two, it also made me work harder the next year because I didn't want to be that kid going back to school with no school clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounded a little fucked up.
Incentives.
Yeah, but hey, life lessons will make or break you.
Yeah.
And I just think that was a good one to do because why did I deserve new clothes for that year?
You didn't.
You ain't did shit.
That's like us with our work performances.
That's why you come home.
You don't get a bonus if you didn't perform well.
If you substandard.
Right. Right, that's why you come home and take off your school clothes and you put on your outside clothes. That's right.
That's what
you don't bring your outside clothes on to lay down on the bed.
Because you're bringing the outside in.
That's right.
And we got to make sure these school clothes stretch.
That's right.
Look, DT talking about make America great again. Let's just make being a decent human being. Great again.
Yep. Shit. Back to the basics. He really trying to go back to the basics.
Those have never been any basics. Child. Whew. But take us out.
Oh, gosh. Thank you for tuning into today's episode. We really do appreciate all of our listeners. You can catch us on all podcast platforms at The Very V-A-R-Y Necessary Podcast. And send us an also very necessary letter at the very V-A-R-Y necessary podcast at gmail.com.
You had to slip that Viola Watson.
had to think about it.
She was in her Viola Watson. So okay. We want to encourage all of you to take care of your spiritual, mental, physical, and emotional well-being because self-care is very necessary. Peace.